The Dana Show.
All politics is local. If you're not involved locally, why the hell should anyone care about your opinions on national issues? I feel like some of the people that I've been seeing, I feel like they should be ridiculed out of the public square. Like, everybody has a particular set of skills, right? And one of my skills is I will ridicule a bigot out of existence.
The Dana Show.
This is a moment of profound opportunity. The benefits of AI are immense. It could give us the power to fight the climate crisis.
How? How is it going to fight the climate? Look, I know I'm dealing with a migraine, and I'm like, right now, and I'm kind of, my allergy meds have, but that sounded whack. That sounded majorly whack. Right? I heard her correctly. Should do I give her credit for saying that she's unburdened by what has been or no?
No.
Okay. No. AI benefits are immense. It could give us the power to fight the climate crisis. Or, hear me out, it could make it to where everything is dumber than it is. Do you know that? Well, yes, and it's apparently too late. So do you know in the thing that he signed, first off, welcome back to the program, Dana Lash with you. You're a lovable curmudgeon. You can listen coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast of the nationally syndicated radio show on YouTube, Facebook, channel 347, DirecTV. I was looking at the fact sheet on the executive order on safe, secure, and trustworthy artificial intelligence. So what did I ask last hour, the segment before we went into Florida Man? I had asked where all the DEI and CRT morons were with regard to the students fighting anti-Semitism on college campuses, right? Well, we found them. They decided to go into robots. So the executive order, I'm looking at the fact sheet here. Can I just say, let me just read this one sentence. It says the executive order establishes new standards for AI safety and security, protects Americans' privacy, advances equity, civil rights. Wait, what?
Can't do both.
Well, yeah, civil. You can't do both of these because they're. They cancel each other out. Equity is not about equality. In fact, they're completely different. They're antithetical to one or the other. So I'm just fascinated by this because it literally gets into AI. Like it says, advancing equity and civil rights. It's like a thing. Advancing equity. That's a thing in the fact sheet. It says, I'm reading it from Whitehouse.gov, irresponsible uses of AI can lead to and deepen discrimination, bias, and other abuses, injustice, healthcare, and housing. Wait, what? The Biden-Harris administration has already taken action by publishing the blueprint for an AI Bill of Rights and issuing an executive order directing agencies to combat algorithmic discrimination. Oh, sidebar. You know none of that's going to be about discrimination against conservatives, right? Right. I swear this gets dumber. I was reading this last night. This is one of the things I was reading last night. I had to bookmark it to finish the fact sheet this morning because it was so dumb it made my head hurt more. They write, to ensure that AI advances equity and civil rights, the president directs the following additional actions. To provide clear guidance to landlords, federal benefit programs, and federal contractors to keep AI algorithms from being used to exacerbate discrimination. To address algorithmic discrimination through training, technical assistance, and coordination between the Department of Justice and federal civil rights offices on best practices for investigating and prosecuting civil rights violations related to AI. Can you imagine? I mean, this is going to be AI that will be formed with the principles of CRT.
Yes.
That's what this is. So imagine like a code equivalent of Ibram X. Kendi's CRT nonsense as part of AI forever. That's going to go well, right? Because that's exactly what they're pushing here. Yeah, go ahead, Kane. Go ahead and share. Just share.
Well, I just know the government has been trying to get control of the internet with net neutrality for a long, long time. And I think they've realized that that's an uphill battle they're unwilling to continue. So I think with this AI, I think they're going to also usher in government control, right? There has to be controls with AI or else it just goes crazy. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, society will be better off with government in control. And this is their effort to do that very thing that they've been trying to do with net neutrality for so long.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, here's exactly what it's going to be. This, I mean, I was reading the fact sheet and it sounds like they want fairness. But why would you use AI in sentencing? And they want to use AI for everything. Do you realize what this is? It's humans giving up. And so, but before they give up, they want to make sure that they incorporate all of this AI, DEI, CRT stuff in it. Really? It's going to be Peter Singer on steroids. Oh my gosh. This is terrifying. This is like, I read this and it reads like a horror film. The fact sheet of it, it is absolutely terrifying. Imagine, because the algorithm is built on what it is given. So whatever perspective someone has, they will shape it. So the winners write the history books. Well, it's not going to be that anymore. The winners are going to be writing the algorithm. If you think that this isn't going to happen, I would just direct you to how Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, etc., all of these have been run. Just look at how all of this has been ran. This is exactly how this is going to go. And so, can you imagine this being applied? I mean, how is this going to work in healthcare? Workplace equity, health equity? What the hell is health equity? What is that? That sounds like a death panel sort of thing. That sounds like someone is going to be actively incorporating discrimination because that's what equity is. Equity is about making sure that everything, like equality is everybody has the same opportunities. Equity is everybody has to have the same outcomes, regardless of the choices that you make, because that's what people omit when they talk about equity versus equality. Equality is that making sure everyone has the same, you know, access to opportunity. But equity isn't about opportunity. It's about you must have the exact same outcomes. And it disregards choice. It disregards a lot of stuff for the purpose of claiming that making sure that all the results are the same, it's better than equality. That's how equity is advertised. It's better than equality. It's equality 2.0. But that's not, equity has to incorporate discrimination in order to achieve the same outcome. It means that some people have to be penalized, like if they're through no fault of their own. And some people will be penalized for making the right choice, and some people will be credited for making the wrong one. I mean, just so that you can get the same outcome. Isn't that horrible? That's one of the most evil things. Equity is evil. It is absolute evil. And I think that this is disastrous. This is one of the reasons why we cannot lose in 2024. I don't really want to talk about all the primary stuff, but I want you to realize that the primary is the general here. And you can like whoever you like as much as possible, but I'm telling you right now, there are some candidates that don't have a shot in hell at winning a general election. I mean, I've looked at that. My job is to look at the data. And I would much rather do things that are most advantageous to me. But unfortunately, that would require me to lie. And I don't like doing that. So I'm telling you, this is one of the, I think the AI stuff and writing the algorithms for this and who controls that is one of the, that is to me one of the biggest things. I mean, they talk about AI ecosystem in this. They actually have a phrase in here, use existing authorities to expand the ability of highly skilled immigrants and non-immigrants with expertise in critical areas to study, stay, and work in the U.S. They want to incorporate into the algorithm the premise that illegal immigration is actually legal and is fine and that cannot be used as a negative. This is the type of perspective that's going to shape this. This is what I'm talking about. Now imagine this with healthcare as well. 2024 is going to require some really hard decisions to be made. Like, for instance, I know a lot of people are talking about Nikki Haley. Let me be really frank with us. Nikki Haley doesn't have a shot in hell at the general election. I don't dislike her as a person. She's come to the town I live in a lot, and she's fundraised with a lot of people that I consider friends. They've had fundraisers with her. I haven't gone, but that's their choice. I don't have anything against her personally. I disagree with her on some of her foreign policy, but I'm telling you, she doesn't have a shot in hell at winning. She is not going to be able to pull Trump voters away. Trump voters, the most hardcore group. Nikki Haley represents someone who is takes an opposing view to some of the principles they hold, particularly with regard to foreign policy. You're going to have a lot of Capitol L libertarians that went over to the Republican side that aren't going to be voting for her because of foreign policy. Some people are going to be looking at her monetary policy. She just doesn't, the polling, the only reason she's doing well, she's getting Tim Scott stuff. She's getting, now that he's out of the race, she's getting some of his voters. She's not doing well. And I don't think that it's going to last. And so that's my perspective on it. I think that people are silly to try to sit here and call who's going to be winning and who isn't this early in, but that's just the truth of it. And you also have to look at independence. I mean, I'm not going to dive into it right now because we're very far away still from Iowa, but you have to look at the lay of the land, and you also have to realize that this election is bigger than one person and it's bigger than one candidate. I want to win because I don't want stuff like this being written by progressives. And if there are people out there that are willing to sacrifice their future, the future of their children and the future of their grandchildren, and allow progressives to write stuff like the quote unquote AI ecosystem and incorporate forever equity as a premise of the AI future of the United States, and they are unwilling to get over their own ego or obsession with any candidate in any race to do so, then they are as bad for this country as the left is. Because this is about winning. And people who win don't take suicide missions politically. This stuff is, I think out of everything, this is the scariest stuff to me, is the AI stuff. This is absolutely terrifying because so much of this, I mean, this touches on criminal justice. It touches on healthcare decisions. It touches on education, everything. I mean, imagine some sentencing being determined by AI. You realize they're already using AI to solve problems. You need to watch the latest Mission Impossible because they get into this. I mean, imagine AI controlling conflict and determining military strategy based on AI. But with Democrats, they're going to incorporate, honestly, the Ibram X. Kendi's of the world as a perspective for shaping the AI ecosystem. That's going to be disastrous, but that's what's going to happen if we lose in 24, and that is not an exaggeration. The choice is either country or ego for 2024. The primary is the general. Pick a side.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, so gross. I'm so tired of seeing stuff about bed bugs. It's so nasty. So now in London, it's apparently totally out of control. They found bed bugs now in a West London library. Pest control all over the city says the spread is out of control. The Ealing Central Library closed because they found bed bugs like everywhere there. You know, they can get into books too. They said they're getting inundated with calls. And they said that they found them in some of their furnishings. They had to shut the whole library down. I mean, it is so bad. Have you been reading about this? Like, it's everywhere. In Paris, in London. Oh my gosh. That's just crazy. So, oh man, it totally grosses me out. I don't, good dog. We don't deserve dogs. KIRO. Arlington, Washington. A pet dog helped the Arlington Police Department arrest a 36-year-old burglary suspect. He was hiding under a tarp. A Police said they heard from a homeowner who had discovered an unknown male that escaped out the back door when they returned home, and the dog found them because they broke into the doggy door. I don't like doggy doors, man. They totally freaks me out. But they said that they suspected somebody was hiding in the yard, and the dog found them. So kudos to the dog. Let's see. This FDA warns that 26 eye drop products, including large store brands, could lead to eye infections and vision loss. They said 26 that have been sold at CVS, Target, and Rite Aid, U.S. Food and Drug Administration. They say that there's unsanitary conditions in the manufacturing facility, and it's produced positive bacterial test results from the environmental sampling of critical drug production areas in the facility. So they say that, like, sold under brands CVS Health, Rite Aid, Target, Up and Up, and Leader, and Velocity Pharma are supposed to be sterile. They said there's no reports of injuries right now, but they said that anybody who takes them and has signs or symptoms of an eye infection, they should immediately go and seek treatment for that. That's, ugh. Like, you have one job, right? Stick with us. We got more in store.
The United States is also working with the Inter-American Development Bank to establish a fund for nature, to seed more investment in nature-based climate solutions like debt for nature swaps and blue and green bonds. I supported a debt for nature swaps dating back to my time in the United States Senate, and this is a ripe area for considerable growth, in my view. Investors are eager to support projects that are with demonstrated potential. And by providing early stage funding, the technical assistance, we will help more promising climate solutions get off the ground than ever before.
The hell's a nature swab? Is that what I heard?
I think swap.
Nature swab. I heard swab, like they swabbed the earth. It sounds, I don't know what that sounds like. I'm not, I don't know what I feel about that. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. It's Friday. Steve was making fun of me on break because we were talking about how I wouldn't want to live forever because you just got to deal with this stupid. You'd live forever with all the stupid people that could also live forever too. Who would want that? He said that. But that's like the darkest thing he's ever heard. La, 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 la. Happy Friday. It's Friday. It's like a Monday on a Friday. So we do things a little weirder in that. I don't really just, we just sit down. We just talk about all the things and people we don't like. So pull up a chair, get you a coffee, get you a soda, whatever it is that you got. You can listen to the radio show across the country. If you like to read with pictures, you can watch the I'm Joking. You can watch the simulcast as well. Jana, if you're going to get hate mail, 347 DirecTV, YouTube, where there's always a rowdy riot in the comments every day there. And Facebook as well. So, what the hell did he say? That was nature swab, dude. I clearly heard that. Is that like some kind of new environmental thing?
It's like you heard Yanni and I heard Laurel or something. But yeah, he's talking. I don't know what the deal is with him outside of just what? Dementia and old age? I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, nature swab. Nature swab. I don't know what that is. Is that like a new green initiative? Swab the earth. He can't move his, he can't, it's like he doesn't have the muscle control to pull his top lip up and enunciate better. It's just all the meat on his face slides down and just falls into his teeth and he can't talk. There's a sound bite. Golly, man alive. I'm telling you what, somebody give him some Hunter's Coke. What?
It is a thing.
What's a thing?
Debt for nature swaps.
What?
Yeah, or debt for climate.
So you're claiming that he's saying swap.
Yeah, swap.
I feel like you're trying to make up something that he said so you can make it stupid and you can destroy him further.
No,
not that he needs help.
That does track with what I normally do, but that is not what I'm doing here.
Okay.
It's not what I'm doing here. It is a real thing. Debt for climate swaps and debt for...
Well, what is the debt for climate swap? What's that, Kane?
I guess it's restructuring debt with the incentives behind the green agenda, right?
So it sounds like a racket.
Yeah, it's like a government racket.
Okay, so my next question is, how do we get in on this?
It's a great question.
Like the whole climate, what is it? What were they? The carbon credits, which are basically indulgences, modern day greeny indulgences.
Yeah.
Sure, you can go ahead and take that plane ride. Give me $1,000 and I'll plant you a tree. Yeah, I'll plant you a tree.
Debt for carbon swaps.
Cannot believe people. Do people actually believe this? I mean, it's one thing if people actually believe it. It's something else entirely if they don't believe it and they just do it to give the optic of going along because, look, we're part of the crowd. We're not causing any problems. We're a part of the Inquisition. Look at us, right? I don't know. There's something to that. I don't know. I guess they really believe it. I don't know. It's just weird. I still don't know if that's what he said, swap, but I'm willing to go with what your expert audio engineering ear heard, Kane.
I appreciate it.
Because all I heard was really mashed potatoes. That's all I heard. It's like when, can I just give you an aside and then I'm going to move on because I got other things to talk about. So, and I love my grandfather and I'm not paying that as a penance to get ready to rip him for something. God have help me. I'm not, but he was such a rebel. So he was, you know, World War II vet, naval vet. And he ended up having to get dentures later in life. Man hated wearing dentures. The only time that he would put them in for a while was if my grandma was around and was aggravating him about it. Cause she'd get at him all the time. You know, Howard, you got to put your teeth in. Cause she told him that he had to get used to wearing them and he didn't want to wear them. Right. And his doctor kept telling him you need to wear them. So he quit seeing his doctor. Cause he was like, I don't need those people to tell me what to do. This was the man who hated banks and kept his money in a Bible that was unlocked. Like one of the big giant family Bibles. Like it comes with a case and everything. I don't even know where it came from. I think the Lord gave it to them when he was a boy. I don't know. And kept it on the coffee table in the middle of the living room. And I'm just like, why would you do that? Because people are going to rob you. And he's like, no heathen's going to open this. It's fascinating. And he's right. Like it never, ever, nobody ever took anything out of there. It was probably supernaturally protected. Anyway, long story short, he just thought what he thought and believed what he believed. And he did not want to wear his teeth. And so when we were little and we would sit at the dinner table, and I was at my grandparents a lot growing up because my mom had to work like 3 and 4 jobs. And when we would sit at the table, my favorite thing ever in the world was watching him eat mashed potatoes because he wouldn't wear his teeth because he said they hurt and he couldn't. And he said that his teeth would just made the food weird. And so and then he would sometimes spit it out at you and it was hysterical. Like he loved entertaining the grandkids at dinner. And so that was my favorite thing in the world. It was like watching Nat Geo right there at the table. And sometimes she would, you know, yell at Howard, you need to wear your teeth, et cetera, et cetera. And he would talk back to her and sound just like Joe Biden did just then without dentures and a mouthful of mashed potatoes. Nobody knew what he said, but you could kind of get the gist of it. And when I heard Biden sit there and go, I'm like, Grandpa, I don't know, just, you know, brought back me. Except my grandpa was sentient. Biden isn't. We don't know what's happening there. How dare you make fun of baby Hunter Biden's dad, Kane? You're so mean.
Well, I have another one from this morning.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that's right. There's more. Can we hear some more mashed potato mouth?
I found it this morning, but it did happen last night.
Same difference.
Yeah, listen to this.
And together, we're working to address historic levels of migration in the hemisphere.
Okay, can I pause it right there? Can I just pause it right there for a minute? Because we are going to talk about the border. What the hell is this? Record levels of migration. These aren't geese. These aren't geese. Why do we allow elected officials? Well, there's the migration that's coming from the southern. They're not geese. They're people, including a Jordanian terrorist, by the way. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt it.
No, that's all right. Here we go.
And together, we're working to address historic levels of migration.
It sounds so lethargic.
A lot of people moving around.
So much energy.
Admire the way you handle it, particularly.
Gosh, so much energy.
The Venezuelan refugees, which you've set an example for the region. And so as we embark on this next century partnership. It's making these.
Who the hell is hitting the table?
That's the crackling fire.
That's the fire?
That's the crackling.
It sounds like someone's hitting a ruler on the table.
There's a fire in the fireplace going. And no.
Is there a metronome to keep him on beat? Is that what it is?
It looks like split oak logs crackling.
Man, I want an actual wood-burning fireplace. Can I just blow a hole in my ceiling and put one in?
I'm not sure that's how it works.
I think I'm going to do that. I'm pretty sure it's how it works if I want to, because this is America.
All right.
I have no idea where I'm going with that. What did he say there? I couldn't hear.
No, I don't know what he said. No
one knows what he said. No. That was just... What does this voicemail sound like? Beep.
No joke.
That's what it is. How dare you make fun of baby Hunter's dad? Baby Hunter Biden. This cocaine or crack. One more sidebar and I got more things to do. I don't know the difference between coke and crack. Is crack just like the generic brand of Coke? I literally don't know. I know this was a big debate during the Whitney and Bobby era. No, I don't know.
I think there's, with crack, it is cocaine, but
it is whack, I'm told.
It's cooked in some way.
The cocaine is not cooked. I do not need an email explainer on this from the audience.
In some way to make crack. And we're not giving those instructions out clearly.
The reason I ask is because I was just thinking, like, are they different? And wouldn't he go? I mean, it's the Bidens. Wouldn't they want to go for the bougiest drug you could be addicted to? Isn't that cocaine? Isn't that what all the bougie people?
Is it?
I don't know.
Is it now?
The 80s, that's all the 80s movies I watched as a kid. That's all the bougie people. All the John Hughes stuff. Right?
Yeah, I think it morphed into like heroin and other like even pharmaceutical type drugs.
I'm just wondering. Anyway, and also because I didn't know whether what to attribute to him as a cokehead or crackhead. So I mentioned the border just a little bit ago. I don't know if you guys heard this pretty unbelievable story. A Jordanian national was arrested in Houston, allegedly planning an attack on the Jewish community. Sohib Ayubayash, 20, was studying how to build bombs. And like every other dumb terrorist, posted about his support for killing the Jews, federal officials claim. He had very specific and detailed content posted by radical organizations on the internet. And he made lots of statements talking about how he was going to kill Jewish people, going to target the Jewish community. I mean, I'm looking at him. He looks like a ton of fun. I mean, somebody skips leg day. I mean, when your thighs and your butt are completely and your midsection is completely disproportionate to the rest of your legs and your skinny little neck and no shoulders, that just means to me that you maybe need to talk less on the internet and work out in the gym more. But I digress. So they said that he got charged because he's not here legally or not here. He's not a citizen. So he's here on a non-immigrant visa. He was in unlawful possession, and they apparently... Finally, they were monitoring his activities since August, and they. But you know, it's a good thing that we have that Islamophobia outreach, Kane. Oh, yeah. You know, maybe that's the goal of the vice president, is tell him that he doesn't have to go out and kill the Jews, because it's okay. You don't have to go. Is that what their whole outreach is? Is that how they're approaching this? I'm curious. He was actually planning to attack the Houston Jewish community. And finally, the FBI moved forward. They went after him on an unlawful possession of firearms charge. So this is where I might shock you. When you have people who are here on with great restrictions, because he was here on a very specific type of allowance, and when you're posting about killing other members of our community, and you're talking about how to, I just think, you know what? Let's just go ahead and just thump you right now. I am of the mind that so long as you are not a citizen of the country and you're talking about killing people in the country, you're just volunteering to get thumped. Can I just point out, as Juan is preparing to show, and I'm only doing this guy, he's preparing to show this Jordanian terrorist picture in the simulcast. I've never seen anybody with no shoulders before like this. He looks like a child's drawing. Have you ever seen anything like that? He's fat. He's not fit. He's fat. I mean, he's a chunk. He's muffined out, all that. Man has no shoulders. None. They slope right into his elbows. Again, it's like he's like the human version of Elon Musk's electric truck. Like child's drawing come to life. That's what he looks like. So he's here on a non-immigrant visa. He couldn't legally obtain firearms, yet he had them. And he was just talking about going, and he was being inspired by Al-Qaeda, and he was talking warmly of Hamas, and he wanted to go and kill Jewish members of the community in Houston. So now he's behind bars on an unlawful possession of a firearm by someone with a non-immigrant visa. He spoke of publicly of committing martyrdom, etc. I mean, he had very detailed plans. I mean, obviously, I would assume that they're working on charges with that. But you realize that there are certain forms of unprotected speech when you're talking about killing people on the internet that are not protected forms of speech and are legally actionable. So I'm just curious as to why, especially with some of the stuff that's public about what he did post, why there were no charges on that. I mean, you can be a free speech purist, but when you're talking about where you're going to go and how you're going to murder people and that you're absolutely going to do it. And it's pretty immediate. Just saying. So, I don't know, live in peace or live in pieces. I think he should be sent back to his home country in bags. Multiple. That's my two cents. We have a lot. Again, there's no gray area with me. We have a lot more in store as we get moving because we got some culture to jump on. We're going to talk about some of the latest with the administration and the House as well. The latest with the House. And we're going to talk about how Hunter Biden's tax case, how we can't talk about it, because how dare you talk about baby Hunter Biden and his coke addiction? Yes, I know. We're talking about like corruption and all that, but you can't cause coke, right?
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Mr. President, we look forward to welcoming you soon to the Dominican Republic at the next Summit of the Americas in 2025, where we will continue to develop the bonds of prosperity, security, and democracy that bind us together. And that summit will be in Punta Cana, so you have time to be on the beach.
Oh my gosh. That is the Dominican Republican, Dominican Republic President Luis Abinader, who's telling Biden that the next Summit of Americas will be in Punta Cana. So you'll get to be on the beach. Wow. You know what? I mean, usually men don't slide into a put down the way that women do, but it is, I think, just a mark of high intelligence when they do. And that was like a straight lady level put down, dude. That was, I gotta give props for that, man. That was well done. Well done, sir. Well done. All right, so this is what we got coming up for you in our second hour this Friday. We're getting you set up. Candy corn's the best candy. I'm just gonna make you mad, make you pay attention right there. We're also gonna get into all of the latest, the pause that the Biden administration's trying to float. Democrat support for Israel's crumbling. What does that mean for Biden? We got all that and more. Stick with us.
It's really weird. What is it?
Weird, maybe. But this RoboCop, well, it's so much more than that.
We're taking existing technology, cameras, being able to communicate with people, and we're placing it on wheels.
Behold the NYPD's newest Crime Stopper, K5 Autonomous, a security robot that will soon patrol the Times Square 42nd Street subway station.
We will continue to stay ahead of those who want to harm everyday New Yorkers.
Mayor Eric Adams unveiling K5 today underground, part of his new push to increase law enforcement technology in the country's largest transit system. The 400-pound, 5'3" K5 is nothing short of being high-tech. It's equipped with four cameras that will allow it to send back live video without audio to the police department. K5 will not use facial recognition technology either. It will patrol the subway station's mezzanine level, not the platforms. But some subway riders say they're a bit concerned about their invasion of privacy. Others appreciate another set of eyes.
Where are the guns? I mean, let's go ahead and open up the betting pool here. Go ahead and place your bets as to how soon this damn thing's going to get yeeted right up onto the subway tracks. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of the second hour. Go ahead, you know, just place your bets. How long do you think it's going to take for this thing to get straight up yeeted onto some subway tracks? There's no audio? Like, you have a 400-pound robot, and there's no audio? And then people are, like, there's no facial recognition? Which I just think, like, if you're, I'm not saying I want it. I just think if you're going to go and create something this stupid, that you would include that, right? Like, go ahead and put all the bells and whistles on it. There should be a little arm that pops out. This is like the crappiest R2-D2 I've ever seen. There should be like a little hatch that opens and a little, that's the sound of an arm, mechanized arm coming out that's holding a gun. That's what should happen. Maybe a Glock, right? I'm just saying. Stop. That's, should be like that. Does that thing scare you? I could kick it. It's kickable. You could easily vandalize that thing. I have so many ideas on how to destroy it. I mean, how much is this thing? How much did they say they paid of their tax?
What did they say?
Since their taxpayer dollars. I can't. I'm just so done. Oh, man, I can't even deal with it. Why is it so? Why do they do this? They want to defund the police for this. Do you honestly think someone's going to be deterred from crime? Ugh. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can also watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347 DirecTV, where Juan was showing you some of the footage of, it's as, almost as tall as Eric Adams, the mayor of New York. The, what is it, the cop bot? RoboCop? It literally is. It's just a dumb one. Nightscope, the RoboCop. So...
Remember, we had this a couple years ago where one of those robots just fell into the fountain.
No, it didn't fall. It committed suicide. Right. Let's get it right. Whoa. Hold up. Let me... well,
what's preventing people from kicking this thing down the stairs or in a fountain?
Robots literally keep killing themselves. So this is in 2017. This is one's in 2017 alone. It was a robot security guard committed suicide in a public fountain. And it was this actual Nightscope robot. The Nightscope security robot was supposed to patrol the Georgetown waterfront, a ritzy shopping and office complex along the Washington Harbor in D.C. But the pressure was too much for the sad little bot, which can turn and beep and whistle in order to maintain order. It rolled into the fountain and drowned itself on Monday. I thought we were going to have like flying cars and... like the technology to have like a helmet go on our head and then 30 seconds later we got a hairstyle.
Right.
And instead we have robots that drown themselves in fountains. That's what we get instead. Best I can do is a robot. It's like Pawn Stars. Best I can do is a robot that drowns itself. That's all I can do. I mean, just let me die. That's all it has. So the one that drowned itself in D.C. was literally the exact one that drowned itself. The one that drowned itself is the exact one that they have in New York. Literally the exact one. Now, that's not all. Apparently, there are others that have done it. Now, the one was saying that the one in D.C., they said that's named Steve. Steve. That's literally what it's named. It's the Independent that said that. There's argument as to whether or not it actually killed itself or whether it was there was just a mishap. But if a Roomba knows not to take the stairs into a fountain, pretty sure. Why are there stairs in a fountain anyway? It's a fountain. Why are there stairs that go down into it? That's like entrapment. Why is that like that? So I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, this robot killed it. Just it totally murked itself. You know why? Because it has to deal with us. Yeah. Honestly, God, just let me die. Beep boop. If you're a criminal and you saw that on the mezzanine level, and you were going to commit a crime, you know. I don't know what crime you would commit on the mezzanine level, but would you be deterred by the presence of a suicidal robot? I mean, I don't know, man. I just don't even know. But that's the yeah. What we ordered some. We thought we had something different, and no. But see, there's some, like the Financial Times had a story 2 days ago where they said that security companies are turning to robots as the labor shortage bites. And I was reading this piece on Interesting Engineering about how it works and, you know, all of this stuff. And this one will be in the Times Square subway. I think that's the only place that it is. I don't think it's in all of the subway, like all of the, it's not going to be in all of the different subway stops, but it's just in the Times Square one. They said that, that when something happens, we'll be able to step in from a remote location. How are you doing that? It doesn't do anything. It just like rolls around. Beep, boop, beep, boop.
I say we test them at the border before we start letting them loose in New York.
Dude, right?
That's what we need.
Let's just like let an army of these, you know, little robots go out there.
If they fall in the
let
water.
Let her rip, Tater Chip. Go get them.
If they fall in the water, we know they're no good around water. Up in New York.
You can't enter. No, what'll happen is you'll have Biden send his agents down there and they'll be kicking him into the Rio. Golly. Oh, man. We are so stupid as a species.
I love our government just spending our money on important things.
Wait a minute, hold up. Steve has a story of the Hitchbot. What is this? It's the cheerful hiking robot. I guess this, it got vandalized in Philadelphia. I remember this story. They had a, nobody likes robots. The Hitchbot's trip came to a violent end in Philly. They were in Boston and Salem and then New York City. And then when it went to Philly, it totally got murked. I mean, it was.
This was the talk of campus. This was my senior year of college. And someone knew about someone who, someone knew the guy who took it and beheaded it and threw it in the trash can.
I mean, it's like a little robot. It had little wellies on and had little, little kid rain boots on and little jeans. And yeah, it's, the Hitchbot was beheaded. It's it was like a robot Flat Stanley. So he took it and cut the head off, Steve?
Oh, yeah. Philly don't play with that type of stuff.
Yeah, Philly's like, that thing looks stupid. Cut it.
Hey, Google, is hitchhiking safe?
Don't hitchhike. Oh, man. I can't, dude. I can't. This and this video that keeps autoplaying of the first female college football kicker just kicking it 20 yards is just... Chef's kiss, man. Oh my gosh. Can I tell you guys, I got other stuff. I know we got to talk about this, the law and order and all. Yeah, so Hunter Biden, let me touch on this. Hunter Biden is suing Rudy Giuliani and attorney Robert Costello because he's saying that they hacked his laptop data. And by hacking, he means my druggy ass left it at the computer repair shop. And I signed a waiver stating that it would be the property of the Scottish computer repair shop owner. And who was like a character in So I Married an Axe Murderer, by the way. Like he looks like one of Mike Myers' family. And by hacking, I guess, you know, signed the form stating that if I left it here for X amount of days, then it was going to be your property, et cetera, left it for like years. And then it comes out because it's, you know, my laptop. But wait a minute, hold up. Before we get into all of that, though, I was reliably told, and so were all of you good people in Radioland, reliably told by a host of intelligence officials that wrote a big fancy letter, and they all signed their names to said big fancy letter, stating that this was in fact not Hunter Biden's laptop. Nay, 'twas Russian misinformation. That's what we were all reliably told, reliably, by these trustworthy, intelligent people that work in intelligence matters. We were told by these people these things. They said that this was Russian disinformation. It's not his laptop, but now it is. Wait a minute. I think we're going to have another hearing. And then let's bring back all of these same people, the Clappers and the Brennans. And just, I want them to argue with Hunter, but you guys told us this wasn't his laptop. Now he wants to sue over it. Can you just imagine being such a reckless sack of meat that you just take a deuce all over Democrats' well-laid strategy. Just as there's a pun there. And where they worked so meticulously and tirelessly, and they got all these people to sign this letter. We'll protect you, son, baby infant 50-something-year-old Hunter. We'll protect you. And they had all these people sign this letter stating that, no, this is Russian disinformation. No one is this depraved. Like everything was fake, right? All the people that Joe Biden just put on the Homeland Intelligence Experts Group, which sounds like a Sunday morning talk show. Today on Homeland Intelligence Experts Group, we look at the crack video from Hunter Biden. It's Russian disinfo. So which is it? Which is it? I've got questions. Hopefully we have someone who works in reporting things to the people that can go to the gathering of other people who report things to people. And they could ask questions of the person who works with the president who takes questions from the people who report things to other people.
Feels like we used to have that.
But yeah, like, Kane, I got an idea. Ah, it's a business idea. All right, we got a lot more on the way.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Scientists have developed an AI system that can detect aliens with 90% accuracy. Put in your John Fetterman and see what happens. It's an artificial intelligence system that can detect signs of life with 90% accuracy. They say it's a great advance, blah, blah, blah. But what if it's lying to you? What if it becomes sentient and just decides to lie? I don't know. I just don't trust anything anymore. But, I mean, that's great. We're just going to have AI do everything for us. And then pretty soon, will we be needed? Oh, boy, that was heavy, wasn't it? This is weird because this is like the sixth or seventh, like, captain that has been fired. Captain of the missile submarine USS Alabama was fired for loss of confidence. The submarine can be armed with 20 nuclear missiles, which you can fire in a matter of minutes. This guy, Commander Michael Lyle, was relieved of command on September 22nd. This was announced yesterday. Rear Admiral Nicholas Tilbrook, who's commander of Submarine Group 9, relieved Lyle of command due to a loss, quote, loss of confidence in his ability to command. That's according to the Navy news release. That's a very, it's reported as being catch-all wording when you have leaders that are relieved, but it is kind of interesting because there have been like six, I think, so far that have been relieved. I sent that out to you in your prep, so you would have some of that. Very interesting indeed. So get this, the FBI was sued after allegedly losing hundreds of thousands of rare coins during a raid. Yeah, lost. Gosh dang, we just accidentally lost all these rare coins. So they're being sued, according to a couple of different sources here. Two Americans are suing. They said that it's lost. The FBI either lost it or stole their property. And the way that they seized it, they said it was a shady process. It was in a box in a safe, and the FBI broke in, according to an attorney with the law firm that's representing the parties. They said that we don't know what happened after the FBI broke into the box. The Institute for Justice filed two lawsuits on behalf of their clients. It was a safety deposit box. That's where these things were taken from in March of 2021. They said that the FBI, they prevailed in court. They said the FBI agreed to return their property when the Pearsons, that's the one of the parties, discovered their property was missing. So, it's just like how you lose your guns in a boating accident, maybe. I don't know.
I think whether from all parts of the political spectrum, one of the biggest issues that we have when it comes to immigration is the fact that we have an undocumented population. Mm-hmm. Now, you can fix that by trying to build a wall, or you can fix that by trying to document people.
What? Kane, what's the matter with you? What are you doing over there? What's you doing?
She's almost got it.
She's almost there. That's AOC. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you. Bottom of this second hour. She's just about there on the... She's trying to get off the struggle bus. I mean, we have an undocumented population. That's a problem. Wow, really? Tell us more about this. How does that happen? So wild. It's crazy. Now, on top of that, Audio Soundbite 17, Customs and Border Patrol, they're saying, hey, you guys know that border that nobody's paying attention to right now? Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff coming across. FYI, guys. Hey. Listen.
But the intel arm of CBP has a new bulletin out, and the headline is pretty alarming. It says in bold letters right at the top, foreign fighters of Israel-Hamas conflict may be encountered at southwest border. The Daily Caller got a copy of this material. It was distributed 3 days ago, and it's about Hamas, Hezbollah, or Islamic Jihad fighters exploiting the porous border to get into the U.S. Part of the concern is that terrorists can see a ton of traffic down there. The new number is 2.48 million encounters in a fiscal year, and among them at least 172 people from the terror watch list. That is 172 who actually came face to face with law enforcement and didn't get away.
That's kind of a big deal, I think. Big deal to have that many. I mean, we have no idea what's happening with our own southern border. And we already know that there was at least one Hezbollah-linked militant that came, that was trying to come through. So it's a big issue, a very big issue. Karine Jean-Pierre is speaking right now. We're not going to take it, but we'll, heaven knows what. I can't imagine. Heaven knows what she's going to say. Yeah, or how she's going to spin this. So the question of when this kind of I don't think we're going to know when any kind of ground invasion takes place. I do think, like I said, that they're trying to bait us into war. I do believe that. And I also think that you can support the actions of Israel. I support however they need to take care of this. That's what they need to do. And I think that the implications go far beyond just that region. I got to tell you, this is a weird story. I saw this first at Daily Wire. There was a survey that was done. Ryan Savadera has the story. It was a new survey that was released, and it found they surveyed over 2,000 people from October 16th to October 18th to measure the public's not just awareness of what was happening in the Middle East, but attitudes about what was happening. And they said that there were 50% of people who had a positive opinion of Israel, 12% had a negative opinion, 37% were neutral. The two groups, when you break it down further, that had the highest negative views of Israel were Muslim Americans at 36.5%, followed by Democrats at 15%. And the largest positive views were Jewish Americans at 85% and Republicans at 65%. But they said that the survey of the demographics, Muslim Americans seemed less aware of all of these different aspects of atrocities that were committed by Hamas than Jewish Americans. So apparently, like less than 10% of Jewish Americans were unaware of the fact that Hamas was decapitating kids, compared to 34% of Muslim Americans who were not aware. I got to pause there. Aware or care? They found the survey that Hamas is viewed by the majority of Americans as the same as Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and ISIS. Muslim Americans mostly agreed, but they over-index slightly for saying that Hamas is not as bad as each of the other terror organizations, according to the survey. Now, here's where it gets really, really frightening. 57.5% of Muslim Americans, and there were over 2,000 surveyed, said that they agreed that, quote, and this is how it was stated, and you agree or disagree, Hamas was justified in attacking Israel as part of their struggle for a Palestinian state, unquote. Of those surveyed, 57.5% said that they agreed. A plurality still had a positive view of the leader of Hamas. Almost 40% viewed him positively. They just murdered over 1,400 people. They just murdered over 31 Americans brutally. People were burned alive. And 10% of Americans, including nearly 40% of American Muslims, have a favorable view of the leader of Hamas. That is terrifying. Now, I think it's worth noting in this that there is what I think the number of Americans who hold a negative view of Israel is very small in the survey. I think they said what less than 12% consider themselves in that category. I don't know where this is wild. In the United States, and this is census information, they're not a huge percentage. Muslim Americans are a very small percentage of the American population, but it's like, you know, they really vote overwhelmingly Democrat. I'm trying to figure out the psychology of this, because how you can view Hamas in a positive manner or think that they're what they did was justified. And this gets into this long going, and I know that you probably heard me talk about this before, but I think it's so important that this is a problem that's more widespread than just this area. There's a very good piece that was written by Jonathan Tobin, and this is kind of what I've been saying, how not all Palestinians, and I don't believe in that term. I don't believe in that term because I don't think that it's a group of people. They're Jordanian, really. And again, I don't believe in a Palestine. That's never existed. It's not supported by 2,000 years of antiquity. It's not mentioned in the Quran. It's not mentioned in the Bible. And once again, the name comes from a reference that Hadrian gave the Jewish people after they quelled another Judean uprising, and they named them after Syria Philistina, the enemies of the Jews that had, like, I think been, that was from several centuries earlier, and named them after the Philistines, who were actually from Crete. They were a seafaring people and not at all Arabic. And they had left that area like forever ago. So it was done spitefully to disassociate Jewish people from the land, and people like Yasser Arafat, before he became worm food, promoted this idea of like this magical group of people that just like came out of the ether and exists. I'm not going to conjure this into a reality any more than I'm going to conjure into reality the idea that a man can chop off his wing and become a chick. It doesn't exist. I believe in science and I believe in history. I believe in fact. That's why I'm a conservative. Not to that point. It's a very good piece. Not all Palestinians are Hamas, but Hamas does represent them. And that is true. I told you before, they were popularly elected in 2006. Surveys in 2021 showed a landslide victory coming for them in the elections. And so the reason that the elections were postponed is because the ruling authority of the two territories determined that they didn't want Hamas to take over both territories. And there was, and probably is some truth to the geopolitical approach to keeping these two factions, whether it's Fatah or Hamas, kind of at each other's throats as to divide, to control. Because even everybody understands that when you divide people and you have different groups at each other's throats, you can control them. Can I just sidebar for a minute? This is what I don't get about the left. I hear the left say this all the time. Oh, well, Netanyahu wanted to give money and he wanted to support Hamas because that was a great way to keep the two territories under control because Hamas and Fatah were constantly at each other's throats. Do you not realize it's literally what you do here in the United States with identity politics? And you're too much of a dumbass to even know it. You literally do the same thing. You support the exact same tactics here in the United States to keep everybody at each other's throats so you can control the population better. Interesting. The left has no concept of irony. So they represent them because they were popularly elected. Numerous surveys had showed that they enjoy overwhelming support from Gazans. And so the idea I kept, I, you know, earlier I was hearing two-state solution from Anthony Blinken. It's not going to happen. Hamas is not an outlier. One of the things Tobin noted is that in the Federalist is that New York Magazine, all these other people, they try to argue that, well, you know, they don't represent the people. Actually, they do. I mean, they ended up getting, they were popularly elected. And they view their own civilian casualties as like an asset to them politically, as opposed to like a tragedy or an atrocity. I mean, that's just the way that they've always viewed it. They use their civilians as human shields. But yet, what gets me is that they've done this for decades, but that has not at all contributed to a groundswell of opposition towards them. Not at all. You have people who take to the streets to celebrate terror attacks against Israel, and not just in Gaza. You had tons of people in the streets in Gaza that celebrated. You had tons of people. We saw it. I mean, you saw the video. You can't deny what you see with your own eyes. You can't deny what's being reported. You can't deny what friends of yours who are traveling through Europe see in big cities that they're in. You can't deny it. And there were people who were cheering. There were cheers. When they came back after they attacked Israel, I mean, they gave them like a hero's welcome. Fatah is the more moderate party. And their leader, Mahmoud Abbas, is the president of the quote-unquote Palestinian Authority. And they had this, they had the election in 2006. That was something that W had pushed. And Hamas was, they were so successful that Tobin notes too, that was sort of the impetus for their coup that kicked Fatah out of Gaza Strip. And that's when in 2005, Israel withdrew everything. They did everything possible to chase the peace that never comes. Because if Hamas wanted peace, you would have peace. They wanted Gaza. They got Gaza. That wasn't enough. It's not that they want Gaza. It's not that they want West Bank. It's not that they want their own place. They don't want Jews to exist. That is Hamas. And by the way, they have not been challenged for authority in Gaza. And that has just made them more radical and more violent. It's a their position. I mean, they have the, and you can say Fatah is moderate and that Abbas might be more moderate than Hamas's leader, but they still do martyrs funds. That doesn't sound moderate to me. I mean, you're paying people's families that go and engage in suicide bombing and else. That's you, they get pensions for life. That's weird. That's weird to me. That's not moderate. Now, they're in a geopolitical situation like this, you have to realize that at some point you have to eliminate the threat. And that's why they've been warning for people to get out of the way, people to leave. Although Hamas, you know, they need them there, so they've been blocking the roads, etc. But Hamas has to be entirely struck off the face of the earth. Otherwise, this is never going to end. And this, it's going to end up costing more lives. It's going to end up going on and on and on. It has to end, however it has to end. It's sort of like how, you know, we were looking at Japan in the 40s. This has to end. And you can't pretend that people who voted for a ruling authority aren't supportive of the ruling authority. That's not to say that every single person voted for them, but we are far beyond, I think, decades past prolonging things to take all of this into consideration. And that is not a choice that Israel has made. That's not a choice that you've made or anyone in the United States. It's a choice that Hamas made. And it's a choice that all of the countries that have been holding Israel back this entire time have enabled it to make. Let's be honest about that. We have more on the way. We got Florida Man coming up too. And you don't want to miss Florida Man, because that's the sanest part of the day anymore.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So he's a Tampa man in a Buccaneers jersey, and he posed as a police officer and was trying to pull over cars on I-75. Because you can't impersonate law enforcement. So he was trying to pull people over in Brooksville, said troopers. Earl Cesario, 62, of Tampa. He was arrested, taken to Sumter County Jail with his Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey on. A trooper pulled him over because he was getting all these reports that this red GMC pickup was using red and blue flashing lights, pulling over other cars in his truck. Like, who would pull over for that, though? Would you pull over for a truck? No. Like, hell, I wouldn't. I'd be like, you come get me. Yeah. And I'll be like, you weren't in a mark. I didn't trust you. I see lights. I'm not going to. Dude, he's got red fuzzy dye in his car, like right on the, you know, because that's what police do in their Ford and their GMC pickups. So they said he told authorities that they were apparently lying, that he did not actually have his lights on, but he did. The driver said he thought it was undercover law enforcement at the time, and he started pulling over, but then he became suspicious after the truck sped off. So he was the one who ended up contacting law enforcement. They did detain him. He took him into custody without incident, but oh my gosh. Let's see here. Boy, we got some parents of the year here coming up in this too. We got a Florida man arrested for stealing and damaging an excavator. Let's do the iguana. This is a thing. So this is a new one. Not the same one that I had like last month. This is brand new. A guy in Hollywood, Florida, found an iguana straight up in his toilet, took a video of it too. He sent it to Channel 6 NBC in South Florida, and the lizard was hanging out in the dude's toilet bowl. It looks huge. They called animal control. They got it out. They said that the iguana tried to slither back down the sewer system in the same way that it came in. This seems like it's common. And also, the guy has a pot leaf mat right there by his toilet. I don't understand the mats by the toilet. I don't get that.
Just like my grandparents and the grandparents of millions of Jews, from now on, my team and I will wear yellow stars.
Hmm. This is the...
We will wear this star until you condemn the atrocities of Hamas and demand the immediate release of our hostages. Never again is now.
That is the Israeli UN ambassador who, that's, they all put them on there. They put the, that old, the yellow patch that, that's what they were, I mean, you know, the history behind it, where they were, I mean, during Nazism and caliphates during the Middle Ages and all of that. I mean, good heavens. So that's, that sends a strong message. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch here with you. Always good to be with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast, Channel 347 on DirecTV, as well as YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff. Yes, I'm dressed as Wednesday Addams today, if you're watching the simulcast. And we do have our werewolf here.
Yeah, we do.
Got to give him a, he's, which I'm going to... I think we're going to make him green and put like a Santa hat on him so he can be the Grinch for Christmas because, you know, it's really good animatronics. It's just really good. You can't even get this at the Costco anymore. You can't even get it at the Costco anymore. So anyway, so this, that was a very good, I mean, I think that that's, I mean, it's a good reminder and they're going to have to deal with it until they condemn this stuff. Me, in the meantime, you know, we've been talking about this ongoing spread of anti-Semitism across the nation at different college campuses. I mean, we were talking about University of Wisconsin-Madison, Cornell. What gets me is that University of Wisconsin at Madison, I mean, they had people standing outside of their Jewish center for students. It's all like their worship center. Screaming blank the Jews through a megaphone, talking about screaming from the river to the sea, the fictional country that's Palestine that never existed in history will be free, all this other stuff. Now, apparently that's okay. But didn't they say, I mean, there are listeners that have made a really good point. This is Halloween, right? It's Halloween. People were told you can't even wear a sombrero for Halloween. Because you might make somebody feel unsafe if you wear a sombrero. You can't dress up like an American Indian because you might offend somebody. You make them feel unsafe. You could offend them, make them feel bad. So no, you can't dress up as that. What are all some of the other costumes you can't dress up as, Kane? You can't, no sombreros. You can't even eat tacos on Tuesday. What else?
No, you can't, like, ninja outfits. Remember they got all upset at ninja outfits?
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. You can't dress up as
over
a ninja.
Over ninjas.
Yeah.
Hold up.
You're Asian appropriating.
Well, I know that there was a girl who was dressing in a kimono for prom because she thought it was gorgeous, and a lot of people got mad at her, and they went after her. Oh, yeah, so, yeah, ninja and samurai. Oh, you can't do that.
Nope, can't do
Everything is so stupid. But you can stand outside of a student center with a megaphone and scream about, you know, blank the Jews, no good Jew, like a dead Jew is what they were screaming.
Apparently that's okay.
And there's apparently there's video of it that exists too. But hey, that's they allow that. That's, you know, that you can do.
But no sombrero for you.
Yeah, you can't wear a sombrero. You can't do any of that. I mean, by the way, so University of Wisconsin at Madison, where they have people outside the Jewish center, they're screaming all these invectives and all this blood libel. That was okay. But back in 2021, they removed a rock because they said it was racist. Yeah. I am looking at the office of the chancellor, and they have a piece up there. It's on the University of Wisconsin at Madison, their website. What a rock has to do with racism. They said that they removed this 42-ton rock, known as the Chamberlain Rock, from their main campus. They said that it's a rock, by the way. They said that they talked to people from the geology department and all these other things about the rock. And they said that some people said that the rock was the symbol of anti-blackness. I'm sorry, what? It's a rock. Are you what? What? They don't actually tell you what the hell the rock is. They have, oh my gosh, this is like a, oh my gosh, it's like a 4,000-word piece on this dumbass rock. I'm not kidding you.
So they buried.
They don't actually tell you why, because I know nothing about this rock. And they removed it back in. Let's pull this up. They removed it. It's literally just a rock. People said that it was a symbol of racism. Why is it a symbol of racism? Well, if you were, they said that it's because the it had a nickname at one point. What? Can anyone write a story where they just tell you what the hell's going on instead of just, you know, giving you all this stupid stuff? They said it was, it's the Chamberlain Rock. And let's see if the AP can do it right. Let's see if the AP can get it. If the stupid, if their stupid page will load. Maybe not. But they said that it was apparently a symbol of racism somehow. And that it's a 42-ton rock. It occupied a very blah, blah, blah. Here's a photo, blah, blah. Oh, can you just tell me that not even their morons at their paper can do it? Apparently, they said that the Black Students Union said the rock was offensive and harmful. Why? Why? Oh, it had a nickname. What? It had a racial slur as a nickname at one point. I had to actually Google an old image of an old newspaper to get the story because none of these people educated at these universities have been taught how to write an actual damn news story. So it had a racial slur as a nickname. So why don't you just rename it?
Right.
I mean, who cares? It's a rock.
So where'd they move it?
Hell if I know.
So it's going to be racist wherever it's moved
to? It's going to go spread. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen anything so dumb in my whole life. They literally got in a giant work crew. And they got this massive sling to get the rock in the sling, a pre-Cambrian era glacial erratic, whatever the hell that is. It's a rock. And they removed it. And then they had to do a whole big thing because they said they had to have their historical society sign off because it was located within 50 feet of a Native American burial site. Oh my gosh. It is a rock. They got a giant flatbed and they literally, it was just because of a slur for the nickname. $50,000 it cost to move the rock. I mean, you could just rename it. I mean, you could have just done that, but I don't know, Kane. Anyway, my whole point of bringing this up is that at University of Wisconsin, Madison, they spent $50,000 to remove a rock because the rock was racist. But it's totally fine to stand outside of the Jewish Student Center and scream blood libel through a megaphone. I'm confused here, Kane.
Yeah, me too.
So, again, The Rock was racist. Not like The Rock, the actor, but like an actual what did they say? It was a pre-Cambrian geological erratic. Whatever the hell that is. That's racist. The physical thing. Rock, actual pebble, the large pebble, boulder. But standing outside again, the Jewish Student Center yelling blood libel through a megaphone is okay. Okay. So that's okay. And that's not just the only, I mean, you have University of Michigan, Cornell, where they had to literally lock students in the library. That's crazy. All of this stuff, so bad. We've sheltered and indoctrinated kids at these educational institutions. That is what has happened. I think they need to learn, lose their accreditation and all of that. Carol Markowitz, my friend Carol Markowitz, made a great point because she says, remember how they did the cancel, the left was going, oh my gosh, you're engaging in cancel culture. You're trying to cancel the students that are screaming blood libel. Well, there's a difference between speech and there's literally a difference between that and agreeing with a terrorist group that wants to kill us all and start with just the Jewish people. There's a big difference. Are you too stupid? Are you too inbred to know the difference? I'm curious. Is your family tree one branch? Just a giant trunk? Is it? I mean, seriously, I question these people. Oh, that's not a tree. It's a pole. Oh, you sweet little thing. It's a pole. It's not a tree. That leads people to, you know, call this cancel culture. Carol Markowitz made the point. I'm just so worried that if these kids are named and their future employees find out that I'll be participating in cancel culture, you know, like Santa's a joke about it. But for real, though. So wait a minute. I mean, we're in Halloween. Everyone's told you can't dress up as this. You can't dress up as that. You can't dress up. You can't do this. Apparently, I'm violating some kind of made up rule from one of the writers, whatever, because you're not supposed to dress up as characters from things that they were boycotting or something. So Wednesday Addams was part of it. Shut up. I ain't doing that. I'm curious. It's got a lot of questions about this, right? Lots of questions. So safe space or no? And then also, here's the other thing I'm you know, confused about. Where it comes to cancel culture, because I was told that it's totally fine by the left to cancel all the things. These are their rules, right? I mean, isn't that those are their rules about cancel culture? So it only goes to, you know, prove that now they're against cancel culture? Make this make sense, Kane.
I wish I had the ability. I don't.
I don't either. I don't. I thought that cancel culture, now they're for it. I don't know. Yeah, the Chamberlain Rock is what it's called. I wanted to share this too. So the Welsh Labour Party shared a tweet where they said, "The paths of Black history and Welsh history are indivisible. There is no history of Wales without the history of Black experiences in Wales." I think you can totally say that all these experiences today are a part of, you know, modern Wales, but this is a country that's like literally, 0.9% minority? I think people are reacting to the try too hard. That's what I'm getting out of this. The virtue signaling is off the charts. So coming up, they replaced all the dwarves in Snow White with CGI. Well, they didn't. They weren't dwarves. They were regular. I don't know how to say it. Kane, they were people that were just magical people dressed as hippies. They weren't dwarves. And a lot of dwarf actors or little people actors were mad because they're like, we wanted a dwarf role and Peter Dinklage ruined it. I mean, there were a ton of little people actors that came out and they were raging about this, which is understandable. I mean, it's like, I mean, hell, I want that role. That'd be fun to do, right? You get to run around and get to, they let me probably use a table saw. I mean, all kinds of stuff. I'm just saying, you know, I don't get to do that in my house. But like all kinds of fun stuff. But my whole point is that have you seen, like, there was a still that they say is from the movie and it's the CGI dwarves with the real, like, human Snow White. It looks so dumb. We got to talk about this. Also, DeSantis versus Meet the Press over guns. And he stood his ground and was right. We're going to talk about that as well.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm like bummed we didn't get into the aggressive guitar strumming with that song. Okay, so apparently doctors say that you've been blowing your nose wrong and they should shut up. Really? Is there? They said, yeah, you can like it. You should only blow one nostril at a time. Really? Says who? I do what I want. I do what I want. Just saying. They say it's supposed to be gently from one nostril at a time. Okay, just let people do what they... Really? There's a thing... Yeah, so this guy who's dressed up as a banana tried to run away from the police. This actually should be a Florida man story. It's not, though. It was in Key West. A man dressed as a banana tried to slip out of police custody. He was caught peeing on a Key West sidewalk. He was flagged down at police who were looking for a white male in a banana costume. And they found him. He was peeing across from a row of porta potties. So, and he was Kyle Mortimer, 20, was taken. He's so drunk. He's just drunk, dressed as a banana. Goodness. All right, we got a lot more on the way. Stay with us. Bottom of the hour. Ooh, Philly. Kane and I chose a hometown favorite, The Urge, going to the liquor store, or open all night, as it were, because we feel like this best represents the hunt for bread in Philly. That's what we can see on the videos. If you're watching the simulcast of the nationally syndicated radio show on Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook, always good discussions, that's what's happening. Maybe the bread is in liquid form and in a bottle. It could be. Science has done some amazing things. I've seen watermelons grown as cubes and available in supermarkets. So who knows? But the looting, the criminal actions, everything. We had this headline where you have CEOs of major retailers that are saying, look, you guys, this is getting out of hand. And it's not just in a couple of cities anymore. This is so widespread that this is affecting local economies because stores are having to leave. For crying out loud, okay, what was it, Nike in Portland?
Yeah.
They had, that's like their home. Isn't there that Steve Prefontaine and everything? That's like their whole thing. Yeah. They closed forever. Oh my gosh. Joining me right now, my good friend Jason Rantz, who has a book out about this, where he dives into all of this. What's killing America inside the radical left's tragic destruction of our cities? And Jason's from Pacific Northwest. So, I mean, I'm shocked that the Nike store closed. That's an iconic, that was like their headquarters. That's an iconic thing. And to lose that, no one on the left, Jason, has stopped and said, wow, now this might be getting out of control now, finally.
I mean, if anything, they look at this as some corporation that's finally going somewhere else, which was basically how they responded in Seattle, where we closed a very long-standing Nike store.
Oh,
but it was also
gosh.
In Portland. I mean, we're seeing this all across the board. And of course, this week we learned that Target was also closing a number of stores across the United States, some in New York, some in Oregon, and in Washington State. And, you know, you would think that at some point someone might step back and say, things are going in the wrong direction. But of course, they don't seem to think anything is wrong. And that's a big problem. That's frankly, it's why I wrote What's Killing America.
Yeah. And with this too, kind of, I guess, this has been kind of sort of a result of this restorative justice where we've seen these, you know, these prosecutors, and I think even, you know, in LA, and we've seen them in St. Louis and New York, obviously, where they'll even give in Albuquerque, they'll give standing orders. Well, let's not go and go after these types of misdemeanors. And I know in California, they had a limit, like if it only up to this limit, it's okay. So it's like you're advertising to all these criminals, okay, it's a free for all. If you engage in this kind of behavior, we're going to give you a pass in the name of restorative justice. I don't think has that worked anywhere to lower crime, Jason, in any city that's tried?
No, certainly not at the level that we're talking about. Now, if we're talking about, let's say, some 16-year-old who steals a Butterfinger from a 7-Eleven, restorative justice is meant for that person. This is someone who can obviously be saved. But when you are going to that same 7-Eleven for that Butterfinger, armed with a handgun, and you're holding people up, and you are, God forbid, shooting that gun, then no, this is not supposed to be for you. And unfortunately, restorative justice advocates they make no difference between both of those cases. They treat them exactly the same. And that does a disservice, not just to the individual victim who maybe we can save, including save from ultimate death, because usually they get into more trouble the farther out that they go into their career here. But we're not serving the community. We're not serving the victims. But a key tenet for the radical left is that they believe that the actual criminals are victims.
Yeah.
That the criminal justice system itself is something that needs to be dismantled because it's a system of oppression, which doesn't actually mean anything.
That's a great point. I'm talking with Jason Rantz, his new book, What's Killing America? Inside the Radical Left's Tragic Destruction of Our Cities. And that restorative justice, when it was originally conceived and introduced to the public, it was just as you said, like, oh, here's a young individual. They're making their first mistake. You know, maybe they don't have the greatest support structure around them. Let's work and try to get, I mean, I understand the motivation behind that way more than how we see it used today, where if you have repeat offenders who violent criminals, oh, well, let's just, you know, it's because they keep being taken advantage of by this horrible system. It's so discriminatory towards them. Well, at some point, this repeat offender has to take responsibility for what they're doing. And these crime, I mean, we're having retail leave these cities. I think in San Francisco, I was looking at that. It varies depending on who's reporting it. But the number of businesses that have left, I don't know what that's going to do to their tax base. You know, these cities, Jason, that rely on those tax dollars to help fund, you know, the security and the police. This is really reforming what cities look like. What do cities look like now?
Absolutely. San Francisco, I think, is a perfect example. This was a city that I legitimately think this is a city that cannot be saved at this point. I think it's too far gone. I think that a lot of other cities are at the precipice, and we can pull things back. We can go in the right direction. You just have to know what to look for. Sort of justice on paper sounds great. Harm reduction sounds great. Housing first sounds great. Now, if I were to ask the average person out on the street if they could define any of those terms, not a single person will be able to tell me that. That's a problem, because all of those issues are behind the crises that are facing these cities. You go into any major city, you're going to see homelessness out of control. You're going to run into people who are openly smoking fentanyl or meth, and you're going to see a crime crisis. And yet, weirdly, at the exact same time, the cost of living in those cities is sky high. And for the people who thought that it would just stay in these big cities, let me tell you, this isn't Vegas. The bad policies of San Francisco or New York, Atlanta, Chicago, Seattle, they don't stay there. They spread very quickly. When the radical left told us that they wanted to dismantle systems of oppression, they were being upfront with us. That's the one thing, one credit I will give them. They didn't lie to us. They told us upfront that they wanted to dismantle these systems. Well, they've done that. They've rebuilt. And they've implemented some significant institutional changes that are not just going to go away with the flip of the switch. So number one, you have to understand what it is we're looking for, the why. Why do they believe what they believe? Why are they implementing certain programs? And when you have that information, you can then get to a point where you can start pulling them back. Because right now, I fear that there are a lot of people all across the country, a lot of people who are listening right now, and they say to themselves, yeah, something doesn't feel right. Something's off. We see the crime crisis. We're seeing homelessness out of control, housing crisis. We're seeing our education system go into the trash. But they don't know who's responsible or what's responsible. They can't connect the dots on their own. They need some help. And that's what I'm trying to do with What's Killing America.
We're talking to my friend Jason Rance, a talk radio host himself, his new book, What's Killing America. You brought up a really good point with that in terms of connecting the dots, because for a long time, and I still think that, you know, elections where you have judges on the ballot and, you know, people are looking at attorney general and they're looking at some of these, you know, lesser known, maybe more unattractive. They're not really in the headlines all the time. Well, now they are. But, you know, but at least, you know, 10 years ago, they weren't. And yeah. I think they were sort of forgotten by a lot of voters. And then I also see, and which I understand the narrative of the Soros backed prosecutors. I do think that that's absolutely true. But we've been getting bad DAs and bad judges for a long time. This is like would you agree that this is sort of the result of a problem that's been decades, not just a decade in the making?
Absolutely. And I would go a step further. It's not even just the judges. It's pretty much any race in which you just don't get a lot of attention, including school board directors, yes, which I think are incredibly important. But you have so many people who either don't do the research, or you've got people who don't have kids who don't really care, and they're not really connecting the dots themselves of, well, those kids who graduate become our next leaders, and they're getting farther and farther to the left. So in cases of judges, I mean, we're seeing these stories every single day. We had one in Washington State recently where a suspect was accused of a pretty significant and long-term series of rape against his minor daughter. And he was released on $10,000 bail. That means he only had to put up $1,000. And he's out there. You've got individuals who are shooting weapons, shooting guns at police officers, and they're being released on their own personal recognizance. We have a cashless bail system, whether we're talking about Illinois or New York, where it's codified into law, or in places like Washington and California, which effectively just have judges who have that discretion and they're able to do whatever it is they want. How often in any media reports do you know the name of a judge? How often do they tell you that? Almost never. And so for me personally, when I'm covering these stories on my radio show or in any of my work online, I go out of my way. I'm going to make sure you know who this judge is. You should know. They are in Washington State. All of our judges are elected. Some are appointed when some step down, but they're elected positions. And it's absolutely insane what's been going on, but no one knows. No one's following it.
That's such a great point. That's a very good point. Well, this is, I think, a very, like, such a timely book, obviously. What's Killing America? Inside the Radical Left's Tragic Destruction of Our Cities. And as you were saying, you know, just kind of last thoughts on this. And it was with cities like San Francisco, you said, which I acknowledge it, but I don't think I've ever heard anybody verbalize it just like that, that you're giving up on, like, San Francisco. So if San Francisco has failed at this point, what's the next city that's getting ready to fall over that cliff?
I think there are lots you could put on that list. I think Portland and Seattle, I think Chicago, Atlanta are always at the top of the list. It doesn't mean that they're going to fail. It means they're clearly on the wrong path and they are quickly failing. And so unless people get in the way of that failure, it's just going to continue to go. It's going to snowball like what's happening in San Francisco, where all of a sudden people are leaving, businesses are leaving, and lots of people are suffering. Mm-hmm. And the unfortunate reality, there are a lot of people on the ground who want to pretend nothing is wrong whatsoever. They want to just completely gaslight us, and they're doing it to their own detriment.
Yeah, they are. It's sowing chaos and like in some ways legalizing it by not enforcing the law against it. Jason Rantz, the book is What's Killing America? Inside the Radical Left's Tragic Destruction of Our Cities. And you can listen to Jason's radio show as well. And, of course, his hometown in Seattle there. Jason, thank you so much for what you do. Good to see you on Fox as well. Good to talk with
you.
Thanks.
Good to see you.
Of course. Take care. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this third hour of our broadcast. Yeah, San Francisco. It's like something I think we've all thought of, but that's the first time anybody's ever said it, I think. It's too far gone. Too far gone. The last time I was in San Francisco was, gosh, maybe 15 years ago, actually, 15 or 16 years ago. And it was kind of sketch even then, you know, with drug addicts and stuff like that. And I remember I was in a nice hotel and walking out of the hotel, and there was literally like a homeless person who had urinated on themselves. And that was like the first time I ever saw, like, out in the wild, a drug syringe, you know, right next to someone. I'm like, oh my gosh. And it was right. It was like across the street was a Starbucks. I mean, it was just that. And no one else was like really paying attention to it. With me, it was like seeing a two-headed calf. I'm like, oh my gosh. That's wild.
I wake up every day optimistic. I'd say, put your money on me. We're going to get this done.
Now, well, I'm not counting you out. That's one thing people say. Like, that's one thing people say. Don't count you out. But I'm just talking about whether you're able to wrangle those crazy cats on both. Crazy cats. That sounds like a beatnik. But those crazy wrangling cats that you're trying to accomplish. What are the chances that finally happens? I don't know.
If you want to do it by a clock, I don't know what to give you the odds on a clock. But if you want to gauge at the end of the day, do we get this done?
Yeah, well, I don't think that we need to get anything done that includes whether it's, you know, billions for Ukraine, and Tim Scott can sit here and go, oh, they're going to pay it back, I promise, as much as he wants to. But nobody believes that. As long as it includes anything like that. No. No, thanks. We're not buying it. We don't believe it. And with this, the shutdown is supposed to be 12:01 Saturday night, 12:01 a.m. Sunday morning, technically, but you know what I mean. And whether they can get it or not, there are some Republicans that are trying to save themselves with this. You need to be concerned about saving the American people. Not if you do the right thing, voters are going to support you. You're not going to be punished by your base for doing the right thing and being responsible, a responsible steward of their money. This is not going to happen. So stop being afraid of doing the right thing. The end. Do you see what Fetterman did? I don't feel bad for him. I don't like him, and I still think he's a buffoon, and I think that he does cosplay as the everyman, even though I do think that he feels bad about himself. I saw this on Twitchy. He was trying to pull a stunt. He got a case of Bud Light, and this is so cringe. He got a case of Bud Light. He tweeted, "This morning I directed my staff to deliver a gift to congratulate and salute Representative Comer and his Team America squad as they embark on the historic impeachment journey." And it had a note that said, "To Rep Comer and his squad, a profile in courage can make a guy thirsty. Congratulations, this Bud's for you." And it's a case of Bud Light. And okay, you're going to give them crap beer And that, how did he think that this was? This is just stupid. What is this supposed to like? You like Bud Light, so why would you give him something that you like?
I see that, and I think he's admitting Dylan Mulvaney's a man.
Oh, really?
Because he's like, well, it makes a man thirsty, so it's a little some Bud Light, right? So
maybe.
Who knows?
It's cringe to me. I don't know why he thought that. Ugh.
He's inches deep and miles wide.
Stop it. Just so, nah. I don't know. This is bad. Yeah, that, to me, you really showed him. Whoa. Wow, what a put down. Whoa. No. Mm-mm. No, that's not how it works. You didn't have that up, did you?
No, it's up.
Oh, did it? Yeah. Oh, you know what? Here. I'll fix that right now. It's my birthday.
Finish him.
There it is.
That was every single time that, you know, Vivek spoke, I was just...
Finish him.
Just shut up, dude. Turn your mic off. I said earlier, someone was like, Eugene Levy, I don't get it. Google what? Eugene Levy and look at his eyebrows.
Yeah.
I said that the last night's debate was just a giant, elaborate sting organization to make Doug Burgum give back Eugene Levy's eyebrows. That's all I said. All right. Today's stupidity came.
All right. This hearing going on for the impeachment inquiry. Jasmine Crockett is a Democrat. She was out there.
With the pearl
yeah,
stain?
She was screaming.
Oh my gosh, with
about
the accessories.
The only thing she thinks Biden is guilty of. Let's hear this.
But I will tell you what the president has been guilty of. He has unfortunately been guilty of loving his child unconditionally, and that is the only evidence that they have brought forward.
These moves are as transparent as the glue on her fake lashes. Stop it.
But I mean, that talking point went out. That talking point went out. It's literally all they've been doing in this hearing is talking about
how Biden's...
He loves
his dead gay son.
He's only guilty of loving his son unconditionally.
He loves his son. Wrong with you people. I didn't even get to do the Aztec death whistle, but we'll do that tomorrow. We'll save that as a Friday treat. There you go, folks. Have a great night. Go subscribe over to Substack, Chapter and Verse. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow. Thanks for the happy birthday wishes.